Let me bid you welcome this morning to our online broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. It's a pleasure to be along this morning and to bring God's word. And yes, we'd like to be there in person, but we understand with the current restrictions we are unable to meet in that fashion. I ask you to turn, please, in God's word to the book of Joshua and the chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We'll start a reading at the opening verse, please. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. Then we'll just move down to verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Saratain, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. The people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. And may the Lord bless the public reading of his precious word. Let's just take a moment and we'll bow before the Lord in prayer, please. Our gracious Father in heaven, we bow humbly in thy presence this Lord's Day morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in this fashion, to read thy holy word, Lord, and then to bring a message from it. We ask, O God, as we would gather together in our homes around thy word and online and with the means thou hast given to us, Father, that thou be pleased to bless our time this morning. We thank you that thou art not restricted by time or by space or anything else. We thank you thou art the one who is all present. We thank you thou art all powerful, thou art almighty. Thou art the sovereign God which we worship this morning. We lift up our voices as a psalmist and we say, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We thank you for our Saviour this morning. We thank you that we can come to thee in prayer, all because of his finished work. We thank you that he shed his precious blood upon Calvary, that he made a way whereby sinful man can approach a holy God. And we thank you even this morning, he's seated at thy right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. So Father, we ask for thy blessing upon our time this morning. We ask you to bless the dear folk there in Londonderry. You draw near to them even at this time. Remember those who may be ill, who are laid aside, those who are going through the valley of sickness, or maybe who some who have been bereaved, Lord, thou knowest all about them this morning. We ask, O God, you'll draw near, you'll bless, you'll undertake for them. Undertake for them in their vacancy, and bless Reverend Curran as he'd oversee the work there, and be pleased to use the folk for the furtherance of thy kingdom. Remember all our churches this morning. Lord, we think of this present lockdown. We'd love to be open. We'd love to be meeting together with one another. But Lord, we thank you that thou hast given us even these means whereby we can proclaim the word of God. And Father, we pray you'll bless us continually, even at this time. We realize it's difficult for many people. We face many challenges. But Father, we pray even this morning that thy word will come, and it'll come with comfort to our souls, Lord. You'll encourage God's people. You'll lift them up out of the valley, knowing that thou art the one who goes before us each step of the way. So Father, come this morning. Be pleased to use thy word, Lord. Bless it to thy people. Encourage thy people. Speak through it, we pray. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. When the Lord brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he led them towards the promised land. It took them 2 years to make that trip. During that time, the Lord gave them his law. He taught them how to worship him as they ought. And when they arrived at Jordan, all they had to do was enter into the land and lay claim to the land that the Lord has promised to them. But instead of going forward in faith, the people refused to claim their inheritance in Canaan. They wanted to turn around and actually go back to Egypt, to the people who had enslaved them for many years. God punished them severely for their lack of faith. He condemned them to wander around in the wilderness between Canaan and Egypt until the whole generation who refused to enter the promised land had died off. Israel wandered there in the wilderness for 40 years. Those years of wrath and death have now expired as we come to this portion before us this morning. And the children of Israel are poised to enter into Canaan, into the promised land. They're ready to claim their inheritance in the land of promise. But before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past one last great hurdle. One more obstacle stands before them. Normally this would not have presented much of a problem. The River Jordan was only but 100 feet wide here at Gilgal, where the people had gathered. However, God brought them to the Jordan at the time of harvest. I read that there in verse 15, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. And rather than being 100 feet wide, we read that it had overflown, and the people tell us, the historians say, that it may have been as wide as 1 mile during this time of flooding, during the time of harvest. Over 50 times greater and wider than it normally would have been as Israel arrived here, even at this time. There was no way they could cross this river on their own. They needed help. They needed supernatural help. And you know, folks, so often in life, it seems that God always does things in such a way that no man can boast of having done them in his own strength. This crossing would be no exception. Every person listening to this message this morning have their own Jordan to cross at times in life. Every day brings new challenges, new experiences, different situations, and we understand that even presently in our present situation. We never expected to be in this situation and how it has befallen upon us. We often have to deal with obstacles that would hinder us in our Christian walk at times and would hinder us obtaining spiritual victory in our lives. We may feel that we'll never be able to enter that Canaan of victory in our lives and enjoy the abundant life that Christ has promised us in this Christian life. And while it's true that I don't know what lies ahead of me, or you don't know what lies ahead of you, none of us know what a day may bring forth, we do know that we have a God who specializes in overcoming the impossible. A God who specializes in leading his children to victory. You see, nothing takes God by surprise. God knows all about us this morning. God knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow. God knows what happens to us a week further on, a year ahead of us, 2 years, 10 years. It's all planned out. This life is not left to chance. You see, we serve a sovereign God, a God who has predestinated us. He knows what's going to happen. He leads us each day. And this morning I want to leave a few thoughts with you from the children of Israel here as they aim to move across their Jordan, their obstacle that they faced. I pray as we would consider this passage that it'll bring encouragement even to your life, even this morning. So I want to consider overcoming your Jordan, and want to consider the children of Israel as they face their Jordan. I want to notice firstly from our passage the communication that they received. The communication that they received. When it came time for the people to cross the Jordan, God had a message that they needed to hear. In the words they heard, they were challenged to do some very important things. And these are things that we could take on board this morning, and we would do well to heed them and to follow them as well. Firstly, they were told to follow God. Notice that the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned some seven times in chapter 3. And the Ark, as you may know, was that special piece of tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence and power of God. And when the Ark was in the Holy of Holies, the glory of God rested upon it. And it is the dwelling place of God. To Israel, it represented God's presence in the midst of his people. In other words, when God moved, they were to move. When God stopped, they were to do the same. It's a valuable spiritual lesson for each of us here this morning. We would do well when we face those times of crisis or when we need direction in our lives to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord in and around us. It's the fact that God loves his children, that he will guide us in our walk with him. And if we watch him, if we follow him, he will teach us how to live day by day. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, we were told that they were to leave their place and to go after it. They were to follow the guidance of the Lord. There's no hint of restriction here to where the Ark may lead them. They were to go after it wherever it may lead them, despite the dangers, despite the obstacles, despite the problems they may face. And this is a challenge, a command to challenge us to faith, and it comes to all of us sometime in our Christian journey. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. When you're saved, you're not, as it were, placed upon a lovely big cruise ship that you sail lovely through this life and arrive home in glory. No, rather, we are faced many trials. We're like the disciples who were in the boat in the Sea of Galilee. Storm broke out upon them without any warning, and so it is in our life. The believer is never promised an easy life. But we must remember that God leads us each step of the way. And sometimes he tells us to leave our place, maybe even our place of comfort, and to follow him. Where are you found this morning, dear believer? Maybe you are in a comfortable place this morning, and you're very happy there. You don't want to be disturbed. Yet we're warned, woe unto them that are knees in Zion. A Christian life is not a life of comfort. It's a life of service. And here the children of Israel were to follow the Lord wherever he would lead them. And this may require us to leave our comfort zone. Israel were about to leave their comfort zone. They were about to follow the ark through a river that was over 1 mile wide. Not a little stream, but a river that was over 1 mile wide. And that couldn't have been easy. You think of the women, think of the children, think of the elderly. It was not an easy task. But yet it was necessary because God commanded them to do it. You know, if you ever expect to get back past your obstacles and enter your Canaan, you must learn to follow God. You know, we often sing that hymn, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. Well, it's not easy at times, but we are to follow him. Also, they were told here to honour God. Notice that the Israelites are told to stay at least 300 feet behind the ark. Read there in verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. To work that out, that's about 3,000 feet. They were to stay behind the ark. And you might ask, why was this? Well, some say it was a matter of reverence. And I think there's a lesson here for us as well in that thought. We can sometimes be guilty of treating God like one of our buddies. You know, we see it so much today in modern gospel and modern theology. God is reduced down to man's level, and men treat him just like their friend or their buddy, rather than the awesome and terrible and holy and just and righteous God that he is. There must be a holy reverence and fear of the Lord in our hearts. And God help us that we have never allow a spirit of familiarity to cheapen our walk of him. Remember who he is. Remember, only sinners saved by matchless grace. We serve a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. Another thought that we might take from this is that keeping a distance would allow everyone to clearly see where the ark was leading and see the miracle the Lord was about to perform. And again, folks, we need to be in a place where we see God at work. We need to be in a place where we see the Lord is leading us. We need to be in communion with him every day. How do you know where the Lord is leading you if you never read his word? How do you know what the Lord is saying to you if you never commune with him in his word and in the place of prayer? How do you expect to know where the Lord wants you to be or wants you to go if you're not spending that time with him? We don't want anything to hinder us seeing his will. We need to focus on Christ and not allow anything to enter our lives that would restrict our vision of him. We see the children of Israel here. They were to keep this space so there would be no restriction in their view of the ark. And we must keep our eyes firmly focused on Christ. Notice also that we're to consecrate themselves to God. In verse 5 we read, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We're told to sanctify themselves. This is referring to being made sure they were as clean and holy as possible. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord. They were to examine themselves. They were to get ready for the Lord to do something great for them. If you and I ever expect to get past our Jordan and those obstacles and trials that arise in our lives, we must make sure we're walking with the Lord as we ought to be. We must make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives. We must make sure we're striving to live a holy life. A life that's separated from the world. You see, a Christian is to be holy. Holy means to be set apart. God is holy. God is set apart from us. And we are to be holy in that we are set apart from the world, set apart unto God. Are you striving to be holy this morning? Are you striving to live according to his word? And many times, those Jordans, those obstacles, those trials come into our lives because we're not living as we ought. And the Lord allows those things to come into our lives. You see, we read in Hebrews 12 and the verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Sometimes the Lord has to deal with us. Sometimes the Lord has to chasten us because we're not walking with him as we ought to walk with him. But you know, that chastening is always for our good. It's always for our benefit. It's always to bring us back into fellowship with him and to walk with him as we ought to. Oh dear Christian, is everything in your life this morning just as the Lord would have it? As you face that difficulty, that trial, is there some unconfessed sin in your life? Thankfully, the Lord is a merciful God this morning. There's forgiveness with him. Read in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Consecrate yourself to God. There's also something else here we find communicated with them. There was to be commitment to God. Commitment to God. And this message to the Israelites reminded them that getting across the Jordan did not rest on their shoulders. It rested on the Lord. It is his plan to get them over. And it is his problem. In these verses he makes them a promise and he tells them he will bring them through this obstacle in a powerful fashion. God here commits himself to bringing his people across their Jordan. And all that was required of Israel was that they would trust him. Trust him. May I remind you this morning that our God has not changed one bit. If God could be trusted in those days to keep his promises, surely he can be trusted today, this morning, to keep his promise to us. You know, often we're unable to get past the obstacles in our lives because we live a life that exhibits a deep lack of faith in the promises of God. So many people today are worrying and are doubting because they don't have confidence in God. They lack faith in God. We worry over tomorrow, yet the Lord tells us in Matthew 6 and 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. We worry over material things. Yet the Lord has promised he shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We worry over so many other things, yet the Lord tells us that our trust is to be in him daily. Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The bottom line is this. Our God is all-powerful. Our God is all-knowing. Our God is all-present. Our God is almighty. Our God does not change. He knows what you're going through this morning, dear believer. He knows every step you take. He knows every obstacle you face. He knows more about it this morning than you know about it yourself. All this reminds us that he is the Lord. And he is greater than any obstacle or any problem we'll ever face in life. His desire is that we would simply take him at his word. We would trust him. We would believe him. We would lean upon him and allow him to bring us through our Jordan. Paul wrote in Romans 4 and 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That is our God this morning. He is able to do it. Notice secondly from our passage, the complication they faced. The complication they faced. As I mentioned in the introduction, the children of Israel here were facing a big problem. The river was over 1 mile wide. There may have been as many as 2 million people that needed to cross it. And yet the Lord wanted them to go over. They couldn't build a bridge. There was no time. There were no materials. They couldn't transport everyone over in boats. There were no boats, and there would have been sitting ducks for the enemies if they had been there in the boats. There was only one way across. One way around their problem. And that was through it. That was through it. Oh, how many times in life, dear believer, have you faced a problem and the Lord is bringing you through it, but you seek to find some other way. You seek to divert off this way or above it or around it or underneath it. But yet the Lord says, no, you must go through it. But you'll not go through it alone. I will go with you through it. Oh, have you ever sized up your Jordan and you thought about how big it was? Maybe you looked at it and you concluded, there's no way around it. There's no way through this. There's no way over it. There's no way past this problem. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. Well, I suppose we all have been like the 10 spies that returned from spying out the land of Canaan with Caleb and Joshua. We have sized up our problems and we think that it's more than we can ever face. Read in Numbers 13 and verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that ate up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. These men brought back this report and said, it's impossible. We cannot do it. How often we have said that, even in our own lives. Our problem was the same when we faced that. How often it's the same when we face that difficult situation. We forget one very important thing. We forget God. We forget God in heaven. We only see the problems. God only sees the solutions. When we look at the things, we say, there's no way. But yet God says of me, all things are possible. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has always an answer to every situation in life? Notice the plan here in verse 15. And God said, when the feet of the priest entered the Jordan, I'm going to part the waters. I'm going to lead you through on dry ground. There was a catch in this plan, though. And that was that the waters would not part until the priests who were carrying the ark stepped into the water. In other words, it took a step of faith. It took a step of faith on behalf of the people. The people had to be obedient to the command of the Lord for the Lord to work and bring them through their Jordan. What a lesson. What a lesson for us this morning. Too often we want the Lord to fix everything in our lives without having to do anything ourselves. We don't have to want to make any decisions, or we don't want to have to exercise our faith in Him. We just want Him to do it, and do it now. We live in an age of everything being instant. You want something, go on Amazon, you have it the next day. You want food, you ring the takeaway and you have it in 10 or 15 minutes. Everything's instant. Want it and want it now. But these people, they had to do something. Not only had to trust God, but they had to put their faith, exercise that faith in God. God required them to take steps of faith in order that they would see their Jordan parted. And nothing has changed for us, dear believer. God expects us to play our part as well. God had a plan, but for His plan to work, it required faith on the part of His people. And as long as we're trying to solve our own problems in our own strength, we're not walking in faith. It is when we turn loose of the reins of the problem and step away from it and let the Lord have it, we'll see it taken care of for His glory. It's never about what we can do. It's all about what He can do. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice the performing of this plan in verses 16 and 17. When the priest stepped down into that raging river, it parted, and God opened a path of dry ground through the waters for His people. And by the way, verse 16 says the waters backed up as far as the city of Adam. That was some 20 miles north of where the children of Israel were crossing. God made a path through the water that was more than adequate for the people to go through. God solved their problem not in a small way, but in a mighty way. We need to remember that God honours faith. God honours us when we trust Him. When He moves in power and takes care of the problem, it won't just be something that's patched up and it will fail. But when God does something, He does it right. He does it right. It will not fail. It's done right. It'll be done forever. I want to encourage you today by reminding you that this God who did this great thing for Israel is still the same God that we are serving today. What He did then, He can still do today. He hasn't lost any of His power. Well, the world may be in chaos out there, and man may think that he's in control. As we see the evil, we see the chaos on our streets, as we see the laws that are passed, the abortion, the same-sex marriage, and all these evil and wicked things, and we see the evil rulers of this world, and we see all that's happening. We may think that God is not in control. But let me remind you this morning, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He lifts one ruler up and he pulls another down. Not one thing happens in this world without the Lord allowing it. Our God was able all the way through the Bible, and He's still able today. Praise God. Regardless of the circumstances, He still is God, and He still can solve our problems. Notice the question that plagued the Jews and Psalm 78. Turn over there for a moment to Psalm 78 and the verse 19. Psalm 78 and verse 19. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? And the answer is, of course, God can. Just ask Noah, ask Moses, ask Daniel, ask the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, ask the widow of Zarephath, ask the disciples on the boat in Galilee, ask Saul of Tarsus, ask all those people in the Bible, and they will say, God can. God can. And you just look back over your own life, dear believer. How many times has the Lord stepped in when the thing seemed impossible? How many times has God intervened in your life when you thought all hope was lost? Oh, think of that words of the hymn writer. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, the Lord has not changed. The Lord is still the same miracle-working God that He was in this time of the Israelites. He's still the same this morning. Our God specializes in cutting problems down to size. Our God is the one who is all-powerful this morning. Notice, thirdly and finally, the commemoration that they established. The commemoration that they established. In chapter 4 of Joshua, and the verse 5, we read that Joshua, when the people crossed the Jordan, Joshua commanded one man from each of the tribes to get a rock from the midst of the Jordan and build a memorial on the Canaan side. What was the purpose of this memorial? Well, we read there in chapter 4 and the verse 6 and 7, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. These verses tell us that the purpose of the memorial was to remind successive generations of the power and faithfulness of God on behalf of His people. And that would be a memorial that would be important landmark for the people to remember as they came along, the future generations. And you know, dear believer, we need to erect some memorials in our lives as well. We need to remember the times that the Lord has blessed us in the past. Yes, we must be cautious that we don't live in the past so that we cripple our future. We don't want to do that, but we need to remember the things the Lord has done for us so that we can tell others about it. We want to remember the great works of our God so that when we pass that way again, we can remember that the Lord was faithful in those times. The Lord brought us through those times before, and He can bring them through us again. Never forget what the Lord has done for you in your yesterdays. It's those yesterday experiences that will tide you over in the trials of tomorrow as you press on in your Christian life. And as believers, we need to erect some visible memorials to the glory of God. When the Lord works in our lives, we should be telling others about it. We should be sharing it with others and telling them how God answered prayer. You know, many people don't believe in the power of prayer. You go out into your local town or your villages and communities and ask people about prayer. Yes, many people may pray. They go through the ritual of prayer. But can they claim answers to their prayers? Can they sit down and tell you how God answered their prayer? And yet how we can sit down, we could write page after page of how God has answered prayer in our lives. And we should share that with others. And we need to, as it were, prepare our memorial of what the Lord has done for us in the past. And even share it with our children, and with our young people, and with the future generations. We must especially encourage them, even at this time. You know, there's so much pressure upon our young people to fit in with the current culture, to turn away from the things of God. And dear believer this morning, dear parent, you need to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you must tell them about the times that the Lord has worked in your life. And not just live in the past of those times, but live in the present. And tell them what God is doing for you presently. You know, we read over in Judges chapter 2 of the children of Israel and future generations. This is a stark warning to us all this morning, our parents and grandparents. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto the fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, provoked the Lord to anger. What a warning. What a warning, dear parents. What a warning to our children and our young people. We need to be reminding them through God's word who our God is, what our God has done for us, and what our God is still doing for us. Notice the picture in this memorial. It is interesting to note that Joshua constructed two monuments here. They built one on the banks of the Jordan, and then they built one in the middle of the river. And these two memorials served two distinct purposes. In verse 20 of chapter 4, the one on the banks, and read there, and they took 12 stones which they took out of Jordan to Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And these on the bank of the Jordan stood as a testimony to the faithfulness of God, as I've just mentioned. It is there to remind others of what the Lord had done for them and what he could do again. But the one in verse 9, there we read in verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. They built this one in the middle of the river, and no one could see this monument in the middle of the river. Only God. God could see it. And it stood as a monument to the faith of the people. See, when you face your time of trial, dear believer, others are often guilty of misjudging your motives and your actions. But God knows the truth of your heart. And even though here Israel couldn't see it, they knew that that monument was there. They remembered that they had believed God. They remembered that God had worked on their behalf. And this was a monument in their hearts. And we need those kinds of monuments as well. As I said, too often others misjudge us in our times of trial, but God alone knows our heart. And when you've trusted him and he has brought you through it, never forget it. Build that monument in your heart where only God can see it, and where you will never forget it. And then when you face that new trial and that new obstacle, you have that monument there in your heart. You can claim that promise again. Remember when David killed Goliath? Before he went out into the battle, remember how Saul sought to put his armour upon David? Obviously, Saul's armour was too big for David. David hadn't proved it was too large. It wasn't made for him. Yet when David killed the giant with the sling and the stone, and he slew Goliath and took off his head, what did David do with Goliath's armour? David brought Goliath's armour into his tent. Why did he do that? Well, it is a memorial to David. It is a reminder that no matter how great the obstacle, it is nothing when it's placed alongside the God of heaven, the God of the impossible. Some of you may be facing troubled waters today. I don't know what you're going through, dear child of God. I don't know what your Jordan is this morning. Maybe some family problem. Maybe a wayward child. It may be illness. It may be financial difficulties. Maybe some other problem in life. I don't know. But God knows all about it this morning. And God cares for you this morning. Come before the Lord and tell him all about the Jordan you're facing. Allow him to come and get you past it this morning. There's a place of victory where you can shout in spite of your troubles. The first step in getting there is dealing with what is keeping you out. It may be sin. It may be unconfessed sin. I don't know. It may be some person or some other trouble, some trial, but wherever it is, whatever it is, God is able. God is able. God is greater than it this morning, and God is able to bring you through. Trust him with your Jordan today. And remember, faithful is he that calleth you, also he will do it. May the Lord challenge you, comfort you, encourage you even through his word this morning for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy word. Lord, we pray it will be a blessing to our souls this morning. Encourage us, Lord, to trust in thee in our time of trial and trouble. Lay all into thy hands. We thank you, thou art the one who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, bless us, Lord. Encourage us, we ask. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.